We have been talking throughout the semester, about what? A lot of different things, right? Can anybody generalize them maybe? It's okay if you can't. No, that's fine. Basically, we've been talking about all of the basics of being a Christian. So we've been talking about a lot of different things. We talked about sin. We talked about salvation. We've talked about the Bible. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about a lot of different things, and they all have to do with the basics of being a Christian. And a lot of you have grown up in church, but some of these things we still need to learn, or we need to relearn them and learn how to apply them to our lives. So that's what we've been doing, and we're going to keep doing that for the rest of this semester and even into the spring, okay? So we talked 2 weeks ago. Kyle, what did we talk about 2 weeks ago? Okay, he talked about eternal life, which we get through what? How do you get eternal life? Awesome. You have to believe all of those things, and then you will be saved. And we talked about what that looked like. What is eternal life? Today, we're going to talk about good works, which comes after the salvation part. So the first thing I want to start with is by saying, how is someone saved? And Anna just gave us a really good answer. It's by believing in Jesus Christ and who he is and what he did for us. Is there anything that you can do to earn your salvation? No. Great job. No, there's nothing you can do. So even if you are nice to everyone all the time, even your siblings, even if you do read your Bible every day like you're supposed to, or you do pray every day like you're supposed to, those things aren't what make you saved. You are saved by, does anybody know? Saved by grace through faith. Awesome. And then once you're saved, that's when the good works come in. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So I have a couple of scriptures this evening. The first one I was going to start with is talk about by grace through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So it's very clear. It's a gift of God. You didn't do anything. Nobody can earn it. But then you keep reading. This is Ephesians 2, by the way. If you keep reading, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So it says, none of your works can earn you anything. And then in the very next verse, it says we were created for good works. And sometimes that can be confusing because the Bible says our works don't earn us salvation, but they still say we're supposed to do them, right? And it can be kind of confusing. So here's what happens. You are saved by grace through faith. Once you are saved, are you the same person? No, you're not the same person. You've been changed. God has changed you. And when you're changed, we become his workmanship. We talked about that a little bit when we talked about the purpose of man. Remember, we talked about Mona Lisa. What's the job of Mona Lisa? To show how awesome the artist that created her was. The same with us. Our purpose isn't to show how awesome we are. It's to show how awesome God is through us. And it's the same thing. So we become his workmanship. And when we do that, we become obedient to him. And there are plenty of commandments in the Bible. Can somebody name me any commandment in the Bible? Honor your father and mother. Don't misuse the name of the Lord. Don't lie. Have no idols. Okay. Don't make an idol. Plenty of things. And a lot of those are the Ten Commandments. But there are other rules in the Bible that are kind of given to us, right? And we follow them. Do we follow them because if we follow them, it will give us our salvation? No, we follow them because God told us to. We're already saved, and so we're obedient to him, and that's why we follow those commandments. So when we do these works, what happens? When you obey God, what does your life look like? Is your life going to be perfect all the time? No, and we've talked about that too. But your life will begin to produce fruit. Raise your hand if you've ever heard somebody say that a person was producing fruit. Right. Some of us have and some of us haven't, and it's a very church phrase. If you say it outside of church, people get confused, which I actually did the other day, and nobody understood what I was saying. It's all over the Bible. God uses this example of producing fruit to talk about how Christians are supposed to be. So if a plant doesn't produce fruit, and I don't mean like every plant has to produce apples, but if a plant doesn't produce anything at all, is it doing its job? No. And God says the same thing about Christians. If we aren't producing anything, if we aren't producing any fruit, then we're not doing our job as Christians. And if we're not doing our job as Christians, have we really been changed? Have we really decided that we're going to dedicate our life to Christ? So although your works don't save you, your works can often indicate your relationship with the Lord. Now, if somebody is the best person ever in your mind, we've been having this conversation in a couple of my small groups, especially the one with the freshman girls I do on Tuesday mornings. We talk a lot about prayer and how we just want to be able to pray really well in front of people. And there's this like stage fright that these girls get. And we've been working through that and talking about what is the purpose of prayer? What does that mean? But in their mind, if someone can pray really well, then they must be a super awesome Christian. Is that true? No. But we as people, we have this tendency to associate good works with having an awesome relationship with God. And we can't do that because we're not God and we don't know their heart. But what you can do is you can look at your own life and see what fruit you're producing and what works you have, and take that into consideration when you think about your faith and you think about how strong it is, you think about what God's doing in your life. So when we're saved and truly obey the Lord, there will be fruit in our lives. What is an example of fruit that you can think of from the Bible? Fruit of the... Close? Not quite, Michelle. Fruit of the Spirit. So Romans 8:9 says, you, however, are not in the flesh. He's talking about Christians. So he spent some time talking about people of the flesh, and now he's transitioning. He's talking about Christians. He says, you're not of the flesh. You're not of this world, but you are in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. So once we become Christians, we're no longer of the flesh. We're of the Spirit. So those fruits of the Spirit are the things that should be present in our lives if we are in the Spirit. Who can name them for me? Awesome. Did she get all of them? I think that was all of them. Yep. There's a song from VBS that I sing in my head every time we have to do the fruit of the Spirit. So she got all of them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, faithfulness, and gentleness. There we go. These are things that we should see in our life because we have the Spirit in us. These are fruits. These are works that we should see in our lives. And some of them come a little bit easier than others. I think my mother is the most patient woman in the entire world. And I'm not. So for her, I look at her patience and I'm like, well, that's just natural for her. Well, in reality, it isn't. She lives her life in the Spirit and she has learned how to be a patient person because she has grown in her relationship with Christ and that fruit has been produced in her life. And we're responsible to produce all of these fruits. Patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, which can be a really hard one sometimes. So those are examples of fruit in our lives. Those are examples of works that we can do. What are some examples that you can think of right now that you could show one of these fruits in your life? I'll give you a second. Even when they're annoying you, so that would probably be kindness, probably be patience. It would probably be self-control, controlling your mouth for some of us, not me, clearly, but some of us. Just kidding. That's a really good example. So a lot of us with siblings, I feel the same way about my little brother. Stay in your desk at school. So at school, you have to have self-control. Sometimes at school, you have to have patience. Sometimes at school, you have to be gentle when people don't understand things in the same way that you do, which can be hard for us sometimes. So there are plenty of ways that we can show And these aren't the only fruits that can be produced in your life, but it's a pretty good example of the different ones and how they come out. And you can kind of judge for yourself in your relationship with Christ where you're at based on the fruits that you see in your life. If you think about your life and you think that you have no patience with your younger siblings at all, are you in the Spirit? Are you leaning on God to give you that patience when you need it? So our good works allow us to reflect on our relationship with Christ, and when we see them in our lives, it's an indicator of where we are. Our works also serve another purpose. Our works draw others to Christ. So if there is someone sitting next to you in class who just cannot understand this math problem, and it's your partner, and your grade depends on them understanding this math problem, if you treat them with gentleness, if you help them and you understand what they're going through, they're going to remember that, and they're going to notice that something is different about you since you didn't get frustrated with them. And you, in doing that, are showing the love of Christ to that person. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." So just like with the Mona Lisa, when they see your good works, it's not about you. They then give glory to your Father in heaven. So this fits in with one of the catechism questions that we've been going through. It says, "Since we are redeemed by grace alone, through Christ alone, must we still do good works and obey God's word?" And the answer is yes. Okay, let's look at it. Yes. "Because Christ, having redeemed us by his blood, also renews us by his Spirit." Okay? So renews us by his Spirit. We then have the Spirit, and we should have the fruit of the Spirit. So that our lives may show love and gratitude to God, so that we may be assured of our faith by the fruits, and so that our godly behavior, through our godly behavior, others may be won to Christ. Will you read through this with me? Okay, so kind of like big church when we all say stuff together. Ready? "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Behold, I urge you as sojourners," sorry, "to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of..." Couldn't see the word. Okay, let's break this down a little bit. So first, we weren't a people. And then as soon as we accept Christ and allow him into our lives and receive the Spirit, we become God's people, okay? And it's completely different. Your life should look completely different after that. We've received mercy. Sojourners, who knows what that means? Travelers. It's like people without a home. They're just kind of moving around. Exiles, people who are outside of their home. Our home is with God, but we're here on earth, and that's what it's talking about. We're not where we belong. "Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. They may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." So this passage talks about we didn't used to be God's people, and now we are. And because of that, our lives should look completely different. They should be able to see our good deeds, and because of them, they should glorify God. People should glorify God, not because of you, but because of the work that God is doing through you. And you as a Christian should be able to kind of analyze yourself and your faith based on the fruit that you see in your life. We gave some really good examples of fruit, ways that you can do it. The Bible references good works and good deeds all the time. However, there's not really like a list. Like, well, if you do this, 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 and this, you've done all the good deeds for the day. There are plenty of ways to show it. I think that a really good example, the one that we talked through, is the fruit of the Spirit. If you see those in your life, that's a really good indicator, but I want you in your small groups to discuss this a little bit more. How are you going to use it in your life? How are you going to find fruit and do good works in your life? And I want you to give really specific examples, all right? Okay, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this evening and for this group of students that are here to learn more about you. I pray that you bless their time in their small group, that they might find it beneficial, that they would grow in you. I pray that you are with us throughout the rest of this evening and that we all have safe journeys home. Amen.